From voodoo practitioners in Haiti to the Klansmen of the backwoods of Arkansas, photographer Anthony Caron has been able to get access to some of the most closed subcultures in the world. Caron captures intimate images of society's outsiders engaged in taboo activities. There are neo-Nazis, notorious Khmer Rouge members, the new Black Panther Party. Usually they're all operating in secret circles where outsiders are unwelcome. Anthony Caron is here in the BPP studios to talk about gaining trust and getting access and suspending judgment. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, sir. How are you?
You are a former Marine. What type of experiences did you have back then? Did they influence you becoming what you call a self-described adventure junkie?
I think I've always had an adventure side of me. I kind of like what happens behind the closed door. I'm intrigued about things that you're not supposed to see or experience. The Marines didn't really – it helped me be a little more confident in certain situations.
Perhaps to be all that you can be?
Yes.
Or is that the Army?
No. We can do it to all branches, I guess. It helped me with being a little extra polite to people and carry myself in a certain way in all situations.
So that helps in gaining trust and getting access, to be polite so that they could look at you and maybe see a guy who's not out to get them?
Well, there's no specific recipe,
right.
But I think honesty is a big part of it. I engage in conversation with people. I care about people. I want to hear what they have to say. As a photojournalist, I go in early. I stay late. Typically, you'll see a person come in for a story, and they'll come in or like right in the middle of the event, and they'll stay for an hour and they'll leave. I actually spend time and talk to people. I want to learn about them. I'm curious what's going on in their lives and what brought them to their beliefs. And I don't always have my camera in my hand, so sometimes I'm just hanging out. I'll share their food. I'll drink with them. And I think it just makes people more comfortable and more open. You know, being a photojournalist is a two-way street. It's give and take. You need a connection with someone. If you don't have that connection, you're not going to get the photographs that you want.
And so your methods of going in and getting to know them, they're not methods. They're not a ruse. You're genuinely interested.
I'm just being me.
Gotcha. What was the first – you know, we listed voodoo and neo-Nazis and the Khmer Rouge. Which was the first one you really tried to crack?
Not so much cracked. It's more of an interest.
Yes.
Voodoo.
Voodoo in Haiti.
Yes, sir.
How'd you get into that?
I just always wanted to go, and I just got on a plane once, and I just did it.
I mean, were you into zombie movies as a kid? When were you first exposed to the ideas of voodoo?
I saw a movie when I was 14, and that kind of intrigued me about it. And then you see more about the voodoo on TV, like it's this taboo thing, and it's scary. Don't go to Haiti, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to go even more at that point.
And so when you went in, did you know who to talk to? Did you have a game plan?
The first few events I went to were kind of staged. I didn't know that at the time, but after a while, I kept returning, and I kind of realized what was fake and what wasn't fake.
Who were they staged for? For you or for anyone
show
up?
Yeah, they have a tourist come
okay.
in. They kind of know what's going on. They'll put on a little show. But after a while, you kind of realize what's real and what's not, what's pure and what's just a show. And so pretty much now I know when and where to go to see the real thing.
And how did you find out the real people to talk to? And then the second step is how do you say, all right, not only will you let me watch it, you're going to let me photograph it.
It's a connection between two people. You just go in and you let them know who you are, and you just gradually pull out your camera. And if they don't want their photograph taken, they'll pretty much put their hand up and shy away. But generally, you know, people can tell what kind of person you are, and they're open-minded to it most of the time. When I go, I usually it follows a Christian calendar, so
mm-hmm.
I try to go on Christian holidays, and I know where to go and where these events take place.
What was the next one you did after voodoo?
I was trying to take photographs of the Klan because I felt it was never really covered in depth, but mostly I just wanted to add some shocking images to my portfolio. And I met up with this guy. He's an Imperial wizard, and he was also in the Marines, and he kind of liked me, and he let me come in to one event, and we established kind of like a relationship. I always followed up with emails. I sent him photographs, and before you know it, he let me do whatever I wanted to do. And with that under my belt, it opened up the door to new groups.
That first experience, would he try to convince you to join the Klan or kind of probe you for your own beliefs? How'd you handle that?
He wasn't that kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
actually. He actually ran a day school And for black, white, Spanish, all kinds of children, he was a nice guy. I mean, he always spoke of Christian beliefs. I never heard any hatred in his voice. His wife didn't really believe in the Klan, but she supported him, and he put a lot of trust in me. I brought another journalist with me at one point, and he was very open to it, and he vouched for me a lot of times, which is really big in this particular situation.
When he was vouching for you, was he saying, "This is Anthony. Was he saying he's not going to lie about us, or was he saying he's not going to show our, you know, the side we don't, that's true, but that we don't like to talk about? Like, how would he phrase it to his fellow clansmen?
I'm not really sure what happened behind closed doors. Right. I'm pretty sure it happened, like, I'd want to go to a specific event, and I would say, you know, I know such and such a person. I've been to the rally before. And then that person would probably try to contact him, and he'd say, no, he's okay. I never had any problems with him.
Do you know if I'm going to assume that the voodoo practitioners, they, after the photographs were made, they weren't looking to draw other people into their, you know, belief system. But what about the Klansmen? Were they trying to use the photographs or any sort of publicity to kind of gain converts?
I don't really think they use my photographs for anything. They don't really know. I told them I work for an agency, and I've, you know, submitted them in magazines, but I'm not a journalist, so I have no real control, you know, where my images go, per se. I do have a no tabloid clause on them, so people can't use them inappropriately, because I think being invited in these personal situations, it wouldn't be ethical for me to, say, give them to the ADL to use against them. It's just not an ethical situation for me. So I just try to use them neutrally.
Is the Klan and the neo-Nazis, are they connected? Are they pretty much separate entities? Like, you had to talk to a whole separate group of people when you're dealing with the neo-Nazis as opposed to the Klan?
The traditional Klan, they really don't want anything to do with the swastika. It's two different ideologies.
And so how do you then decide to get into the neo-Nazi subculture?
I just thought it was a spin-off, something else to do, something else. You know, it's along the same lines of that taboo, mysterious mafia type situations. But, you know, I tried it, and it panned out. It worked.
So you talked about this Klansman who ran a day school, and you said was, you know, not hateful to you. What about the Nazis that you dealt with? Did they say anything hateful? Did they try to, you know, convince you or try to figure out where you stood on things?
I've been asked to join, you know, a few times. Of course, I'm big. I'm white. You know,
you're like this. How tall are you? About 6'4"?
I'm 6'3".
Sorry. Okay, so you're 6'3". You're, let's paint a picture. You're, you know, kind of look a little like, I don't want to, you know, make you embarrassed, a little like Captain America. A little
bit.
Definitely.
You have
the blue eyes, the crew cut, very big muscular guy.
Yeah.
They want you on their recruitment poster.
I've been asked, you know, I'm like, no, it's not my thing. I'm a photographer, but thank you.
Uh-huh.
I've never noticed any, like, violence or anything at all these events. I mean, I've had a couple situations where, you know, I had to actually say, all right, guys, you know, we were at a hotel and some guys were making fun of the manager. He was from India and you know, nothing great, just some razzing. I was like, come on, guys, this isn't cool.
And they listened to you?
And stop. Yeah.
What do you try to frame the photographs to make a point or to purely document? Are you trying to create interesting juxtapositions so that the viewer will say, oh, I see what he's trying to convince me of here?
I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. The thing is, when I first started, I took a couple shots, you know. Like, how can you make a story or a book out of the Klan? It's all been done already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what, the lightings, you know, it gets pretty boring after all. Everybody's seen it. But how can I make a good story out of it? So I kind of had to approach it at different levels. I want to get the private moments. I needed contrast.
What about the Black Panther Party? What interaction have you had with them?
I tried to get in with them for quite a while. They invited me to a couple events, and I got some photographs. I wanted to get in a little deeper, but, you know, I've been trying to do it for 3 years, and it's not really blossoming.
How about the Khmer Rouge?
I met with brother number 3 in Peilin, Cambodia, I'd say about maybe 4 years ago. I was at his hideout up north, and it was pretty intense.
So the Khmer Rouge, are they in hiding in the I know they're on trial right now.
Well,
some of them are. Some
of
the leaders are.
Yeah,
so you're
some
talking
leaders.
About the ones who are still active in the jungles of Cambodia?
I don't know so much active. These are old men. You know, they're like in their 70s. This guy, he designed the thesis for the Year Zero campaign. So he was third in command to Pol Pot, and I was up north, and it was made known to me that he was in the vicinity if I'd have interest in meeting him, and I jumped all over it. And through a series of connections, I finally found out where he was, and he invited me into his house.
Let me ask you this question. It is possible that in our talk here today, in the brief time we've met, you have fooled me and that you really are a cynical guy and a big operator. I can't tell. But the impression I get is that you're really a genuine guy. You really do come to it with no bias or as little bias as a person can.
Yes, sir.
And what I want to ask you is, there's a whole lot of journalists who say, you know, I have a lot of bias. They might say about the Klan, I hate those Klansmen, but I could still do my job.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think someone with a totally different makeup than what you have, like someone who really is kind of cynical and has a lot of opinions at heart, can do a decent job doing what you're doing? Or do you think you have to kind of be the kind of guy you are, where really and genuinely you're an unbiased person?
I am biased to a degree, but when I'm doing what I love to do, photography, like you're a journalist too. If you get in a situation where you know, you're doing something nobody's done before, you're all googly inside.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what it is. You feel like, you know, you're in a unique situation and this is rewarding to you, even if whatever it is. So I am who I am. I go in. I don't have any preconceived anything. I'm not unaware of the tragic histories and past and pain of these organizations, but I'm there to take photographs. If I see something done wrong, I'm going to do something about it. You know, if I'm in a different country and I see someone try to hurt someone, I'm putting down my camera and I'm going to intervene. I don't care if my life is on the line. That's the kind of person I am. Like I said, it's about a connection between two people. If you don't have that respect and connection, it's just not going to happen.
So you're trying to get inside as best you can, the Black Panthers, any other group that you're looking at?
ELN, the FARC. I've been doing this for years. You have no idea how long it takes to get into these organizations.
Photographer Anthony Caron, thank you very much for coming in.
My pleasure, sir.
You can check out Anthony's pictures and video of his voodoo and KKK coverage. It's up at the BPP blog at npr.org/Bryant Park.